But okay, we got to chapter 4. The context is pretty straightforward. There's obviously a very clear, direct, local application by Isaiah to his people, to Jerusalem. Bear in mind, Isaiah now is a friend of the king, probably his cousin. He was intimate with the high priest. He's a man of rank. He's very eloquent, has the largest vocabulary of the prophets. Almost 2,200 words, the different words used in the book of Isaiah. But his focus is Jerusalem. He's the court preacher, and he's speaking against Judah and Jerusalem. That's his focus. But obviously, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, and also, obviously, as we read this from time to time, the shoe pinches pretty bad. And the shoe, you know, the old expression, right? So it fits, and we should take that to heart. There is a short chapter. We have 6 verses, chapter 4. And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now, this has, obviously, a local application. Probably. But as you know, I'm a mystic. And you'd be disappointed in a Chuck Mister Bible study if I don't move out to left field now and then. And at the same time, this is the kind of thing that you either see or you don't. And if this bothers you, don't worry about it. But in chapter 4, verse 1, I'm fascinated by the fact we see these 7 women. What's in the back of my mind, for some reason, are the 7 letters to 7 churches and the 7 kingdom parables. And it's interesting that day 7 women shall take hold of one man. Who's the man? Jesus Christ, maybe. But what he's saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. And I can't help but hear echoes of Sardis and what have you, where they are Christian in name only. And instead of eating the bread of life, and instead of putting on his righteousness, these women are eating their own bread and wearing their own apparel. Remember the wedding guest that didn't have the apparel provided by the host, and he brought his own. Remember what happened to him. And so it's interesting. But they want to still be called by thy name to take away our reproach. And if my analogy is correct, he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Possible. It's just a hint. It may be just coincidental. Really. So verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord. Now here we have this wonderful name, the branch, the netzer. It's interesting, there are 20 different Hebrew words that can mean branch, but there's one word that's used several times in the Old Testament, meaning the Messiah. There's a play on Hebrew words, the netzer is also the derivative from which he's called a Nazarene. It means the branch, the root of David. It's a title of Jesus Christ. In that day shall the branch of the Lord. And if you're familiar with Old Testament idioms, you know that that's a prophetic allusion to none other than the Messiah of Israel. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and splendid for those who are escaped of Israel. Really. Another dominant theme throughout Isaiah will be the remnant. That small minority of Israel that will not be deceived by the coming leader. There's a coming world leader that is going to be accepted by Israel as their Messiah. In John 5:43, Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Another will come in his own name and him you will receive. We call this guy the Antichrist. That's unfortunate because it's a myopic term. The word Antichrist really means instead of Christ, pseudo-Christ. He is obviously against Christ, but that what the word originally meant in the Greek is something else. Of the 50 titles of him in the Bible, we've picked the one that is very narrow in its conception. This coming world leader is not just anti-Christ. He's anti-anything that's worshipped. Puts himself ahead of that. But in his initial stages, he's a peacemaker. He's the greatest problem solver the world's ever seen. He's charismatic, creative, and he solves problems no one else can. And he'll be embraced by the world as Mr. Neat Guy. And Israel will accept him as the Messiah, which probably means he's Jewish. And yet he also may be, if you have to do some eschatology in Islam, he will also probably be accepted by Islam as their Messiah. And that's going to cause some interesting aspects. That may be explained why, how, and where the temple will be built. There will be a small number, a remnant of Israel, that will recognize him for what he is and try to escape his influence, although it's with great difficulty because he will ultimately control the political, economic, and religious systems of the world. Verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and he who remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. And everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and have purged the blood of Jerusalem from its midst by the spirit of justice and by the spirit of burning. Burning in the sense of a judgment of sin. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and a shining of flaming fire by night. And upon all the glory shall be a defense. What an interesting idiom. That phrase, of course, speaks of the Shekinah glory, the same manifestation that, first of all, dealt with Israel when they were called out of Egypt, when they were born, in effect, as a nation. The pillar of fire by night and cloud by day that thwarted Yul Brynner and his bunch, if you recall, speaking in the idiom of the famous movie. It's also the Shekinah glory that actually dwelt between the cherubim and the tabernacle. It's the Shekinah glory that filled Solomon's temple. And Ezekiel describes with great pain its leaving Solomon's temple when it was over. This was the Shekinah glory that did not inhabit Herod's temple. Why? Because one glory greater than the temple was there, namely Jesus Christ. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. A brief vision in chapter 4.